Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 123 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, it's the return of TDD, TIE. They don't do that in Europe. Scott Diedenbach, Mr. David Palin are on this show to talk about pretty much everything that's happened this season or preseason in cyclocross. We touch on the World Cups, about the early season UCI races in North America, and then also spend a lot of time talking about Charm City, which was an amazing weekend up in Baltimore. We're going to get to that all in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to remind everybody that Crosshairs Radio is part of the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, and we want you to be a part of it as well as a member. And to do that, go to wideanglepodium.com and you can sign up and you can help support us. You can get some cool swag by doing so. We basically run this like a subscription. So you're subscribing to all of this great content, and you can do it either. You can do it at any level you choose from $5 on up on a monthly basis, or you can do a one-time annual donation as well. And it's huge for us. It allows us to keep going, keep giving you the content that we love to provide, and continue to make the shows of higher quality and even more listenable. So if you like the Slow Ride podcast or the Consummate Athlete, Bike Shop CX, and then also this show, Crosshairs Radio, or anything else in the catalog from the Meyerson line to KDF, all of that is possible with the support of you. So go to wideanglepodium.com. While you're there, check out the deal we have with Grimpier Brothers Coffee. They have the Full Schleck Coffee, which is a really great tasting blend. Proceeds from the sale of those coffees, some of that comes to us, comes back to the network. So we really want everybody to start their morning rights and throughout their day with some Grimpier Brothers Coffee. There is a link to that deal on the wideanglepodium.com page. As far as Crosshairs Radio goes, I don't do a good enough job reminding everybody to please rate and review the show, especially if you get it on iTunes. We're available across the board, including Spotify. But if you're on Apple Podcasts and that's how you get the show, it would be awesome if you go give us the 5 stars, leave a review. That helps us get even more listeners, and we want to help build the community. Finally, really excited about the Crosshairs television work that we've been doing, and I want you all to check that out. You know, everybody wants a live stream. I talk about it in the episode as well. What I'm giving you is a 10-minute recap of the race, really give you all the action, follow it, put a commentary voice over on top of that to let you know what's going. It's just not a music video of highlights. It's an actual recap of the race. 11 episodes up so far. We're going to have a ton more in the next week. So go check it out on YouTube at the CX Hairs YouTube page. You can also just go to crosshairstelevision.com and tune into all of that. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do it a couple ways. Feedback at cxhairs.com is the easiest. You can also call the hotline and we might play your call on the show. 405-CX-HAIRS. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at cxhairs. All right, let's get on with this show. We're going to do that. Scott Diedenbach is going to start us off, and I believe he's going to do that right now.
I am going to let you do that thing you do, Scott.
Which is?
Start the show. I think start the show.
Start the show. All right, we are back for another edition of TDD TIE with me, Scott Diedenbach. As always, taking center stage is Mr. David Palin.
Yeah, that's what happens. The early bird gets the worm. And it's the second mouse that gets the cheese, I might add, but there you go.
And in the because of the changes in Skype, Bill Shiken is now in the upper right. You're like looming over us.
Wow, nice. It's that height.
Yeah. Isn't that fitting?
It's just like height. Real life.
Yeah.
You know, I like when you hear like a bit of information and then you can go back in time and just figure, you know, and things start to fall into place. Things start to make sense. And when we first set this up last week, David was like, "Hey, do you want me to set up the call?"
And now I realize why that happened.
Oh, yes. In hindsight, it all makes sense. So yeah. He can be in the center.
Yeah.
That would be really cool, but that's not even the call I was talking about.
He's like, I wish I could plan that well. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I've already written the book. It's going to print. This is my conspiracy theory solved. It's done.
Go with it. Go with it.
So, guys, what's up? What's it been a long time? We've, like, missed the start of the season.
Cyclocross? Yeah. Started? No.
Cyclocross is here.
Scott, you are mistaken, and I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that we're able to talk so I can set the record straight. Yeah. This is just cyclocross preseason. Cyclocross season doesn't start until, you know, like November at the earliest. This is what internet's been telling me. This is preseason.
Oh, I see. Until there's a European World Cup, the season doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. Even though that they were the Brico Cross started before the World Cup started in the U.S., it doesn't count either.
But he's not bitter. Don't worry.
And
no one's bitter.
And we've had Ronza. It still hasn't started.
No. We had and the races, you know, aren't even muddy there.
No. Did you guys watch Ronza?
I did not.
I was out running around in a
a mudstorm,
muddy field in Baltimore.
Now that's appropriate cyclocross weather, because cyclocross weather also, that's something else that has to be very specific and prescribed now, right?
It was interesting at the beginning of the races where the UCI official said, I'd like to just let everybody know before we start that we are going to be able to give you official results because this is actually cyclocross weather. Had it been hot and dusty again, these were just going to be provisional results. You know, you could look at them, send them to your friends, but they really weren't going to count for UCI points because, you know, technically it's not cyclocross weather. So sorry. So we can't count it as a cyclocross race. But, you know, we had mud,
cool.
So everything was okay.
That's right.
Life is good. Life is indeed good.
All right. So where do you guys want to start? Do you want to start with Ronza or do you want to start with Charm City?
We should start with Charm City. We have some firsthand experience from that race.
Okay, I agree. Let's start with Charm City. The first day of Charm City is the C1. And Bill, tell us about, since you were there, tell us about that flyover.
Yeah, so that was kind of neat. Not kind of, it was actually neat. So Scaffolding Resources is the company, and they are a sponsor of the race, which is, pro tip for you, you want a cool flyover or a cool feature? Hire us, you know, make friends with a scaffolding company.
Don't do it yourself.
Yeah. No, and this thing, so if you look on my Twitter feed, it's probably the easiest, CX Hairs, at CX Hairs. I just have a photo that I took, you know, an aerial photo of this structure in the middle of the field. And it's enormous. It was 29 steps, so three tiered to the top. It had to be at least two stories high, possibly more than that. It wasn't just like a, you know, I'm big on proof of concept today, this time of year, because I'm just trying to do stuff. But that's exactly, you know, a lot of races is sort of their proof of concept is we're going to have a flyover. And they build a nice flyover that, you know, you can go over and you can go under. And that's kind of it. And it's a, you know, something that people need to practice a couple times, and then usually they can get, and then just becomes a flowy part of the course. This is something that, you know, when you're figuring out your race strategy, definitely was a big part of it, because it's a huge structure and it's a big climb in the middle. And if you're a good runner, this is a place that's going to work, or if you can ride in mud.
So 29 steps?
29 steps over two stories. And here was the kicker. You know, I was joking before about the mud on the course. One of the biggest mud bogs was
right
at the foot.
It.
Yeah.
Oh. So in essence, you had to run into it to then run up it.
Yeah, and it's the kind of stuff that, you know, I have three more Crosshairs television episodes from Charm City that are coming out. So I'm just going to keep plugging myself. If you go to crosshairstelevision.com or YouTube and the CX Hairs channel, subscribe to that and you can see all these. I'm really happy with the women's one that's already up there. It's like 13 minutes long, has an interview, has every race highlight you want.
It's but very good. Yes.
The thing about this that was really, really neat that I know you guys would love seeing is that it became this huge strategy point in two ways. One, if you were able to ride it all the way to the steps, it was a huge, huge advantage. But talking to the pro riders, it was also a huge effort. So you were kind of gassed before right. you got off your bike to run. And then the second thing was that the pit was right beside the mud bog. So it sort of became this, you know, strategic bike change.
Uh-huh.
And if you got, but
take your bike on your shoulder kind of thing.
Yeah. But that only saved you. So about 10 or 15 feet of mud. So it really, the thing that I would have loved was if the mud had started another like 20 feet back, and then it would have been a real decision of, you know, do I just go to the end, get off, and start running, or do I ride all the way through the pits, get that 20-foot advantage, and just take a bike every lap?
Right.
And yeah. then have that sort of head start going into the run-up. So just from the, you know, whole how we analytically look at races, I thought that was a really neat little strategic point.
No, that's really good to – I love stuff like that, right? It's like it's really good when races think about things like that. And incorporate them in because it really adds strategy to it. And we all love that, right? I think it's a really cool thing when races do things like that. So,
yeah. So just before we even get into the races about, you know, that flyover was amazing. The other, the main feature of this race, and again, I was joking about how it's usually hot and dusty and like super fast and people, and, you know, Charm City, one of my, if not my favorite track. It's a venue that I've been going to since they started. I've been I may have been at every one. I may have missed one or two in there, but you know, I was there in year one, and just having watched it grown from a local race into this premier C1 event is just awesome. Normally it's dry, and even when it rains, it soaks it up. You know, really
I remember
well.
You commenting in the past about how sandy that soil is, and that, you know, even if it rains, it does dry quick.
Yeah. So this year, you know, and every like we're thinking about it. One year there's, and Scott, you've been there, you know, where you guys were setting up the team tents. There's that sort of lower infield section for the softball field.
Yep,
they used to run more through the softball field, and there was one year I remember where it was really heavy and muddy, and that was just like this long muddy slog up there. But that was once. And I think one other year when they had their old flyover underneath it got a little mud. But other than that, normally just dry, dusty, hot. We've had some rain here, but not a ton. But what happened is that the storm drains in that section of the park broke and we're all clogged up.
Oh.
So all of that rain started channeling that was, you know, going through these storm drains from basically the park, were emptying onto the course.
Wow.
So you had these sections that there was a section. So Scott, again, since you've been there, the you know, there's the paved finishing stretch, and the race
right.
ends yep. on a hill. And then on the other side, the sand side, where the tree planter is and everything, when you enter that, you sort of dive down off of the road and then make that sort of quick power climb.
Mm-hmm.
When you did that little drop off of the road, you couldn't see the ground because it was all underwater. You know, underwater. Day one was probably, I think, tougher because it was muddy. And then day two, it was kind of like, well, you know, don't ride through anything that you can't see the bottom of is sort of the conventional wisdom.
Yeah.
It was all tape. There was nowhere else to go. So you just had to bomb in there. I think people were actually getting a little benefit out of there because their bikes would get cleared off because it was just water. It was just muddy water in there. Yeah. And then you'd go up. But yeah, especially in the amateur races, we saw a lot of wipeouts there. There was definitely a lot of mud baths. I think everybody's waking up this morning with better skin.
from exfoliating?
Yep, yeah. But so that definitely, the mud on this course definitely became the premier feature, you know, almost overshadowed this 2.5-story behemoth that sat in the middle of the field. So it definitely led It definitely gave a different flavor to the Charm City weekend.
And
the more crunchy flavor at that. Go ahead. Sorry, Scotty D.
It's the start of the series, right?
Yeah, so that was another thing that we were really excited about, and I think we got off to a good start, is that we have this four-race, two-event series, the Parkway CX Trophy Series, which is presented by Union Craft Brewery, so our friends in Baltimore, that is, it's, you know, there's a money purse, for the pros, it's $1,000 for the winner of the men's and the women's, and then I think $650 and $350. So, and then prizes and other cash as we go down to the other elite amateur fields, and these super cool jerseys from Pactimo that they put together for us. Which, you know, kudos to us for having a white jersey out there on a muddy weekend. So that looked really cool, seeing the leaders go around with these mud splatter jerseys on a Sunday. And yeah, it's really exciting. It's you know, one of, I think, two. I think The Verge is the only other. I'm sorry, strike that. Vittoria is the only other UCI okay. series.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going, what?
Yeah, in the U.S. So it's it was a great start to this. And here's the key. Here's the thing that people, I don't think, no, and hopefully the ones who raced, is that much like the Super Prestige series, we are giving people an incentive to race all the way to the end, even if their result is solidified. So if you know you're going to get seventh place, even if you soft pedal the last lap, the Parkway series standings is determined by time.
Overall time,
much like the Super Prestige. So the leaders, you know, right now are looking at those time gaps. And if they can make up that time in DC, even if they, you know, don't win, if they come in before the person who's ahead of them by a certain number of seconds, then they take over that place. So it sort of, it adds that a little different element to it that I think will be fun once we get to DCCX and finish up the series with those races on the 20th and 21st of October.
And I think you mean the Dave Ave that is timed.
Is that the one? The super,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Before we get emails.
Yes.
Yeah, send those cards too. Hey, did you add a sprint bonus in there as well?
We have not. However, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kudos to you guys, man. For people that don't understand, some of our viewers may not understand, like, what a large undertaking. Just when you have a series and you put together your Google Sheets and your spreadsheets and your point spreads and how complex that is, to then add it in that it's based on time, that is a very large undertaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Tom Maines, who's the promoter of HPCX, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, he does the timing for both DCCX and also for Charm City. Been doing it for Charm City for years, you know, and he is amazing. He works with One2Go, so, you know, he's sort of in that whole network. And here's the thing, and I am a bit of a convert on this. You know, for years in the series that I ran in the Mid-Atlantic, we paid for chip timing, and it was great. Yeah. It works awesome, and we love the company that we worked with, and they did a great job. Tom is kind of old school. He does not do chip timing, yet he has, you know, we know One2Go. We know what all they do. They do it right, and they do an awesome job. And he already was able to say, hey, I already set up these spreadsheets for the series. So, you know, those are all populated. I'll get them to you in a day or two so you can post them, you know, all your series standings, even though it was by time, which I thought was going to just like, he was going to be like, oh boy. Yeah, already done. So
nice.
That's sort of a key too. If you're going to run a race or run a series, is timing is kind of the most important thing that you have to think about.
There you go. All right, well, let's get on with results, shall we? For day one was the C1. Let's talk about the women's race first. For the women's race, in first place was Ellen Noble. Second place, Magalie Rochette. Third place, Katie Keough. Fourth place, Becca Farringer. And fifth place, Sunny D. Sunny Gilbert. How's that for that top five?
I mean, some of the stuff that Sunny posted, and she's very active on the socials and stuff. Some of her mud bog pictures and coming through those mud puddles, which frankly, after her experience at Jingle, I'm surprised she didn't just stop at the beginning of some of those puddles and say, no, I'm not doing it. what a great race she had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Becca,
what did you think?
Well, first off, let's just to fill in a couple, because I think it's kind of neat if we go down a couple more spaces. So Caroline Mani in sixth, and then in seventh, Georgia Gold.
Yes, back. I was going to mention that. Amazing.
Yeah, there with her daughter. So Georgia is a Baltimore native. So she will come home, see family, do this race. I think she did it last year as well. And she is looking fast.
Those mummy watts, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's awesome to see her back in it. She was racing in a CX Fever kit, which is Magley's team. I think just to support what Magley does. I don't think she's joining that team, but she's right. She's just out there having fun, you know, on her own, and just really looking good. But at the top of the leaderboard, the C1 race, and we had a good C1 field, strong C1 field. The interesting thing about this weekend was we had a couple riders who were pulled away by the final
Arkansas.
Yeah, the Arkansas mountain bike race, the final Epic Rides race that was taking place. And you know, if we want to, we can have a separate discussion, but if we want to talk about the difference between mountain biking and cyclocross in the U.S., I think that the Epic Rides or that race, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but it was something like $70,000 prize purse.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous. I mean, it had a huge purse.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that Red Bull money? Who's putting the money into that?
I believe the Walton family.
Oh, because it's Arkansas. That makes sense.
The women's, I think it was equal payout, and I think on the women's podium, they were holding the checks, and I think the leader got like 10 grand.
Yeah, and
just
even for the,
just for one person. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we were looking at the start at Charm City, and, you know, like Crystal Anthony didn't go, and I know a lot of the like, not that she was going to go, but like Katarina Nash and a lot of the Canadian riders and everything, they were even if they are starting their cyclocross season, most of them, their primary discipline is mountain bike, and they're like, well, we're not missing that. And we're like, well, we can't blame you. We wouldn't be, if we were as good as you, we wouldn't be missing it either, because that's the place to be. But it is an interesting contrast, you know. That's a big prize purse.
Yeah, indeed.
Cyclocross.
Yeah, and actually, my wife actually talked to Crystal last night, and she ended up getting second for the series. So I think she got fourth on the day, second for the series. And she was like, man, you know how much I love cyclocross. It takes a lot to pull me away, but, you know, she wanted to get in there. Since she was in the running, you know, for first or second in the series, you can't blame her for that. So
yeah, she's, you know, it was sad to miss, you know, especially her, because she's been at least for me personally, she's been helping out with our Devo team.
Crosshairs
that she
Devo,
started.
Yeah,
she's been coaching up those kids, so I know that she wanted to be there for them, but man, we were all cheering her on from afar. But top of the board. So how this?
Yeah, we still had really good, especially in this women's field. Still a really good battle between Noble and Rochette. I mean, that was a great battle.
Yeah, it was. So there was basically a top three for the first couple laps with Katie Keough, Magley Rochette, and Ellen Noble. And you know, as I said, you can see the whole breakdown on the Crosshairs television episode. But Magley's been flying, you know, and we know that. We saw that in Rochester. We saw that in Reno. She is, you know, with Keough's performance in Jingle Cross aside, Magley is really the strongest North American rider right now, and is has had battles with Ellen in Rochester, and was able to pull away from her and beat her. You know, Ellen had some mistakes, got a little crashy in there on a couple sections in Rochester, but which I think was good, because it really, you know, and I talked to her about it sort of set up how she was going to race, how Ellen was trying to figure out how to race Magley. And then of course, you know, you also have Katie Keough there, who just won a World Cup, so you're concerned about her
no slouch.
Yeah, exactly. It's concerned about her as well. But it was a really fun, strategic race. I think Ellen, you know, showing her race savvy, you know, and really at 23 years old, really becoming a mature racer that's thinking about these things instead of just, you know, what we always see from young racers. And God, we just love watching it because it's amazing. They're able to just, you know, put the pedal to the metal at the start and go, and then, you know, catch me if you can. Oh, she played
I think she did. I mean, going by the videos that I've seen, you know, she was just sat in there with Magdalene, and I think she picked the perfect time to go as far as the spot on the course goes. It was one of the places where it was drier. She could put the power down that she has, and she did, and she immediately created a separation, and then had the ability to. She kind of looked like rested for just maybe 5-10 seconds, and then went again. And that was just kind of like the crushing blow right there that kind of just sealed the deal. And she was able to take it into the win. So, yeah, I think a very smart race from what I saw, and got to give it up to Ellen Noble.
Yeah, and doing it on the last half lap. So no chance, you know, you don't have to like make the move and then make it stick for two laps. You have to make the move and then just kind of like put your head down and get to the finish.
Right. So, yeah, awesome race. I wish I could have been there. Yeah, let's move on to the men, shall we?
Well, it was good. The down from the top three, good battle between Farringer, Gilbert, and Mani. Those three seem to be racing at a similar level right now. So, like, throughout the season, I mean, it's kind of been interesting just watching the battle. We saw it down in Gocross, and since then, there's kind of this, you know, Farringer against teammates Gilbert Mani storyline that's kind of being created underneath this the rest of the women's field for these races.
Yeah, cool.
And Becca's been having a great year. I mean, last year wasn't so much. This year, both she and Carrie, I mean, have really been flying their flag pretty strongly at the front of these races.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a, you know, let's put a pin in that because that's a really interesting thing to talk about after we finish up with day two as far as the series goes.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely, David. I totally agree with you there. So, all right, you want to do men's results?
Yes.
In first place for day one was Kerry Werner. In second place, Matthew, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Bolo.
Oh, it's Bolo. Yeah, it's Bolo. Okay. In third place, Jamie Driscoll. Fourth place, Michael Vandenham. Fifth place, Curtis White. There's a name we haven't said in the top five in a while, and it's glad to say that. And sixth place was Tobin Ortenblad. That seems a little bit off for him, doesn't it?
I think that just kind of speaking with Tobin before and seeing how it's going, I really, really think that he is still taking the long view here, doesn't have the fitness that maybe he wants, but is also being smart about it and is, I think he's shooting for December. I really do. I think that last year, you know, with the U.S. Cup, chasing that and coming out of the gates early was one strategy and was a good strategy for that. I think that Tobin is a guy who, you know, and, you know, we know there are others out there as well. They're aiming for the title. And I think that this is a long build up for him. So hopefully he's able to, you know, stay focused on that and not get too frustrated with not getting the results that I know that he knows he's capable of and sort of saving them for later in the season.
And let's mention, David, in 11th place.
Yeah.
Getting some C1 UCI points.
Riding for Cannondale, presented by Cyclocross World.
Lane Maher.
Yeah.
And right ahead of him was Ben Gomez, so Villafane. So,
Vigifagne.
Wait, Ben Gomez who?
Vigifagne is what he meant.
Vigifagne.
Yeah.
Nice to see those two 18-year-olds getting up in there, getting those C1 UCI points.
And Coop Wilsey, too. Another youngster in eighth place. Bill was talking about Tobin taking a longer view, and I think that was sixth place. In seventh place, Bjorn Seelander, also from Donkey Label, thinking probably a little longer into the season.
Bjorn's looking strong. for sure.
Yeah.
It's awesome that, you know, it was like last year, I was like, oh, look at that. You know, because we all knew him from the road and, like, you know, cyclocross, but then he went to the road. And now having him back is pretty cool to have him in there. And, yeah, I think that he's going to be, continue to move up.
And yeah. It sounded like, Bill, from what I was reading about this race, that it was a pretty, really good battle between Driscoll, Bolo, and Kerry Werner, right down to the end. I mean, Werner did get, he only won by, I think, 8 seconds, it says. So, you know, that one kind of came down to the end and was in question right up there. So, sounded like a really good battle there, too.
Yeah, this is going to be another fun one to put together. I think I'm going to work on this one today for the race recap video. And yeah, it was a really fun strategic battle the whole race with a group of, you know, it started out, you had a group of 6-7, and then it just kept getting whittled down, and they were attacking each other. You know, you did not know who was going to come out ahead on this. You know, Kerry finally had that last move that stuck, and he was able to take it to the end. But this was a really fun race to watch. It's just like on both sides of it, the women and the men this year, like all year long, you know, it's kind of been this dream season so far that we're looking for. You know, it stinks that guys like Hyde aren't out there and guys like Powers aren't out there, but just seeing the competitiveness and that we don't know who's going to win, you know, day to day, we don't know who's going to win. And that's just so much fun for spectators and us who follow these races. And, you know, a little foreshadowing, but one of these guys, and I talked to him a little bit about it on Sunday, who seems really rejuvenated, is Jamie Driscoll.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's had a great season already.
Yeah.
Hey, looking a little deeper into the results, Jack Kisseberth, what was going on there?
I don't know. I think that we'll see Jack start moving up again. It was interesting because seeing him down in Roanoke, where he had such a great day one, I think it was, ending up on the podium, we were like, oh boy, okay, here's another contender that we're going to be seeing up front all season long. And I think we still will. He's definitely had some bad luck with mechanicals and everything. So I think once he's able to string together some good races, I'll bet that he is going to be a podium contender in these UCI races coming up.
Yeah, that's great. And Robert Marion's back to racing again. Great to see that.
Yeah, that's another guy who, you know, you kind of look at and you say, okay, he didn't get, I know he was frustrated, but he didn't get frustrated to the point that he's like, I'm giving up. And he's stuck with it. And he's getting fit, and he's sort of racing his way back into fitness. And they show up, and they support every race, and they're like super nice there, and like anything that they can do to help as a promoter, they're willing to do. And they have this huge setup that they come with. So it's always, you know, we love having him at DCCX. Awesome that he, you know, came up for Charm City as well. So it's great having that team around, and that he's sticking with it.
Very
cool.
Because that injury was horrific.
Man. I think I saw some video of his knee still seems pretty mobile.
Yeah, so Taylor
that
Jones.
That was Bruce.
It was Bruce. You're right, it was Bruce. Bruce Buckley had to take, you know, moving into my realm and shooting video. Yeah, he had that scary video.
Stay in your lane, Bruce. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to day two. It's the C2 from Charm City, and we'll go back to the women for this one. In first place was, again, Ellen Noble. Second place, Katie Keough. Third place, Becca Farringer. Fourth place, Sunny Gilbert. Fifth place, Georgia Gould. Almost just everybody moving up one spot below where Magali Roche was, because she did not compete in this race. With a little bit, Georgia jumped two spots, but basically same order and outcome. I think it sounded to me like Ellen was a little bit dominant on this one, kind of just rode at the front the whole way and was able to hang on and take the win, with Keough getting second.
Yeah, so, you know, the first note, and I may get this wrong, I didn't talk to Magali, but we know from her history, well, let's start out this. The mud still existed on the course on day two. Day one was super overcast. It was probably in the 70s, you know, so it was humid, but it wasn't, it was like pretty nice racing conditions. Day mm-hmm. two, we were back to the normal mid-Atlantic where it was like 90 degrees, super humid. The mud was still there, but it was just like this miserable, you know, midsummer day. And yeah. just going back to Rochester several years ago and since when Magley had that incident with heat stroke.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
And she's told me in the past that when there are days like this, she'll... You know, she's very careful about racing. You know, that like that incident had sort of affected her heat tolerance. So I'm not sure. And you know, I'll check with her just to correct, but I have a feeling one of the reasons that she didn't start was because of the heat. And it affected, you know, we were getting people dropping out left and right because you could only go but so hard in these conditions.
Well that's very typical cyclocross weather.
It is, for sure. I mean, and the people who race well in these conditions, you know, we don't want to penalize the people who do awesome in these conditions. They're allowed to shine in their cyclocross weather. So I was joking with Ellen a bit after the race, because after Saturday's race, when I talked to her, she gave this, you know, very detailed and nice response about how she raced and how she knew that she had to stay back and how she, you know, this was kind of, you know, becoming a better racer and more tactical and everything. And I was like, all right, well, you kind of lied to me because you just went from the gun. And she laughed and she's like, well, that was my race strategy for today. And you know, and it was smart. She was like, look, I knew that if I could get out there and get out front from the gun, that somebody else was going to have to put in, you know, get the rest of the field back on their heels. They would have to put in the effort to catch up to me. And in these conditions, you know, she's like, you know, that putting in that effort is going to put you into the red fast. So that was going to be a lot of matches that somebody was going to have to burn just to get up to my wheel, and then from there make another move to get ahead. So it was actually a really good. That was the perfect day to, if you had the ability like she does, to get out there and get out front fast, then you know you're really making everybody else struggle and work that much harder to get on your wheel. And yeah, no, she was able to get out there and just really ride away from everyone.
No, yeah, and that's a great strategy. You're right. I mean, it would take a huge effort for someone to do that, and it costs them a lot to do that. And so, yeah, great, just a good strategy for by her. So,
I think at some level she learned a lot from the master's course that she took in Waterloo at the beginning of the World Cup season. I mean, riding out there with Mariana, yeah.
That is one of the things that she mentioned with the Saturday race and racing with Rochette. I mean, in a very, you know, self-deprecating way, which she was like, well, you know, this is a lesson maybe I should have had, or maybe I learned from, and would have been much better if I had raced that way against Mariana, being, you know, not trying to attack so much, but just sort of hang out and ride with her. You know, I know offline we've talked about that race already, and just the way that Voss is racing, that Ellen really shouldn't be beating herself up about
any kind of tactics
that she thinks she may have been able to do better, because in the end, I think that Voss, you know, yeah, he got what? So many years of experience that you're going up against that she's going to have an answer for most tactical decision you make. And on that day, she was, you know, she was like perfect Mariana Voss, and waited until the end, had that perfectly timed attack, and was able to take the win. So I think that I know why Ellen's saying it is good. That's the learning experience, but you know, we all know that in no way should she feel like she made any mistakes in that other race, because that was the race that somebody won, nobody lost, you know.
Right. Oh yeah,
with Voss, whatever strategic move you make, she's got a response for. She's already thinking about it, you know, and gonna have a counter tactic to whatever you did. So definitely she shouldn't beat herself up. Not to say that Ellen can't beat Voss on the right day. I think that can certainly happen.
No, more than capable to do that, and it's nice to see her, you know, starting out the season strong.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. So, for the men for day two.
Yeah, can we just mention for a second, just talk about Katie Keough, who, you know, I think we were talking about it in the to use those other guys' phrase, the podcast green room. Right. Interesting season for Keough. You know, she was talking to her at Rochester. She was a little bit under the weather, not feeling great, not really feeling up to where she wants to be. And, you know, the results kind of showed. And then shows up in Waterloo and kind of the same thing. And then, holy cow, Jingle Cross.
Right.
Wins a World Cup, which you guys can sort of talk about. You know, I'd love to sort of chat about that for a second. And then comes back to Charm City and then almost look like she's back to struggling a little bit. So I was sort of saying it's like this little mini bell curve, you know, sort of
a little
peaking for that. And right. I don't, in retrospect, I'm sure she doesn't regret any of these other results because she got the freaking World Cup win. So it makes it all worth it. But it's just sort of interesting that I think she's still building. And I think we're going to see a much stronger Katie Keough in weeks and months to come. But it's just kind of funny that she was able to pull out that just monster ride in Iowa City in the middle of all this.
Well, and obviously you can't say it was, because it was muddy conditions or bad course. I mean, it doesn't get much worse or better, depending on how you want to look at it, than Jingle Cross, where she put a stamp of authority on that race.
I think, though, one of the things you do see with the result from Jingle Cross for everyone is you see there's a difference, I think, between the mud that was at Jingle Cross and, say, the mud that was just at Charm City this weekend. Like you were saying, Bill, that course dries really quickly. And while there is these areas of heavy water, these areas of heavy mud, there's still large parts of the course where it's faster, right? Whereas you get a sloppy course like Jingle where it's a slip and slide, right? Especially in the women's race where it started raining right at the start. You see riders who excel in that kind of riding move to the top more, and ones that don't move back a little bit. I think Ellen Noble is a perfect example, right? She didn't have a great race at Jingle Cross, right? Because I think while she can be great in muddy conditions like Charm, she needs to have those areas of the course where she can really put her power down and really take advantage of her speed. And when you get a course that's slippery and slidey all over the place, she tends to not do as well. Whereas a rider like Katie Keough really does well in that slippery, slidey stuff. I think that's her forte. So, I think there's a little bit of a difference there. Not to take anything away from anybody, because I think on any given day, either one of these women can do amazing things. I just think it happens to be what happened this year so far.
You're exactly right. Where it wasn't necessarily a fitness, there wasn't a premium on fitness on Jingle Cross. It's just Katie crushed that course, and it was just nasty conditions, and it was hard, and it was slippery, and you know, she sort of went to the front and was like, I'm going to suffer this much, and I'm going to be able to handle all these turns better than all of you, and you can keep up, or I'm going to be standing on the top step of the podium, and that's what she did, and that was just an amazing performance. But I think you're right, Scott, in that even, you know, I mean, we can't forget that she was second overall in the World Cup last year. So she obviously excels at these harder courses. And it goes back to that debate that, you know, David, that we talk about all the time is like, are the courses hard enough in the U.S. for our U.S. pros? And this kind of highlights that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'll throw one other thing in there that I don't know that we talk about enough. There's a difference between run-ups. There's a difference between, you know, muddy hill climbs and maybe a section of stairs. And the stair climb that is at Charm City now, that's a different type of running. And you may excel at running through sand, running through mud, even running uphill. But I think it's a different runner that can do stairs like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that just running, and I think that's a great point, and it's something that I don't think we look at enough, because even in that day one race at Jingle Cross, one of the things that just impressed me was how fast like Magley and Ellen were running to the stairs on that approach. And you're right though, David, it wasn't like super deep mud. I mean, it was
you mean at Charm City, Bill?
I'm sorry, at Charm City.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's a different kind of running. I mean, they were just basically in a dead sprint for, you know, 50 meters to the stairs and then had to, you know, run up those stairs as well. But it wasn't the, you know, picking your spots, keeping your traction, just sort of the slog through the mud that we saw on some of those off cambers at Jangle Cross.
Yep. And technique comes in, you know, stairs, shouldering the bike, whether you have it. I mean, I know there's a book out there that I've heard about that talks about different techniques and stuff that people can learn from. With that said, whether you're going to reach in front of your head tube or under your down tube, you're going to have the bike laying flat on your back or kind of more flat, or try to even suitcase carry up those stairs. When you have so many stairs, it becomes a real issue.
Yeah, no, it definitely is something that you need to have the stamina and just sort of the rhythm to get up them.
Yeah.
So for sure.
Yep. So a new training is to go to an escalator, maybe at your airport or wherever, and just run up the down alley. Yeah.
That'd be a great video just to have
with
like,
your bike.
Yeah, there you go. Have, on your shoulder.
This is the video I'm gonna put together. It's gonna be like we'll get like timed out, get about five or six guys on their shoulder bikes going the wrong way up and just sort of running in place.
Yeah. You only need about 5 seconds of that video and then you just loop it.
Yeah.
And
sure.
just act like you did it for 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's move on to the men so we can get Charm City over with. First place was Jamie Driscoll. Second place, Kerry Werner. Third place, Curtis White. Fourth place, Matthew Bolo. Fifth place, there's Tobin Ortenblad and Lane Maher getting in there at sixth. Bill, what'd you think?
I thought that seeing Jamie Driscoll win this race was pretty awesome. And I think that he's on different program, different team, him and Courtney now, McFadden starting this team together. And I think I asked him about it. I was like, I was like, Jamie, you know, you're always up there. You've been up there for years. You know, you're basically the veteran out here now and always in the conversation about who's going to win a national title or who's going to win on any weekend. But different guys would come and go and get more of that spotlight, you know, from Powers to High to whoever. And this new start for you. And he kind of agreed with that. He was like, yeah, he feels great. He feels like he's still, you know, racing as good, if not better. So to see him start to win races like this, I think it's going to be pretty sweet to have another top guy back in there battling it out. You know, this guy that got second in Nationals to Powers a couple years ago.
Yeah. Was,
yeah. So, you know, we always know that he's going to be around there and be fast, and he gets the respect from everyone else. They know, you know, when he's out there, that it's going to be a fight. So, yeah, it's kind of cool at 32, which is sort of the same age as, you know, Hyde and Powers and those guys, that he's going to be
the old guy.
Yeah, putting these kids in their place. So that was awesome to see him win. And then Kerry right up there as well. Kerry Werner, I think that, I don't know for how many years now we've been saying Kerry Werner is having a breakout year. But this is another one of those. I mean, he's a guy that is winning races, you know, and he's now the far and away leader for the Parkway Series. He's going to be, him and Becca are going to be in D.C. Becca has a good opportunity to take that title as well. I hope some other folks show up to give her a run for the money. You know, Ellen's not going to be racing, so the jersey will move over just on day one of DCCX, but that's going to be cool as well. Curtis White. Here's the interesting thing about Curtis White. I'm pretty sure, I need to go back and check. I believe we had a semi-bearded Curtis White on Saturday, and then a clean-shaven podium Curtis White on Sunday. So that may have been the difference there.
There you go. More arrow.
Yeah. And then just to finish this up, I talked to Lane for a bit after Sunday's race. Him and his dad, they are like the nicest people in the world.
Aren't they, though?
Oh,
love
Chad.
Yeah.
I love that kid.
And he, he was really happy with his sixth place in this race. And especially since he's, you know, he won KMC, which we haven't mentioned. So obviously he can race to the top of these C2 races, but this was a C1 field, you know, even though it was a C2 race, and he was right up there. He was like, look, on Saturday, he sort of bit off more than he could chew. He was trying to stay with that leading group. He got up there, you know, he's not getting the best start. I think it was 15. So probably like third row start on day one. And he was up there and he was like, oh boy, when they started going, he knew he was in trouble, and then had to sort of come back a little bit and then recover and then got the result he wanted. Where for this day, he was able to go out strong and then just sort of ride his own pace. So he was just off that leading group, that group of five who was fighting it out. And then it was him. And then it was really sort of everybody else. So, you know, he was like, yeah, it was a little tough because he's basically, you know, we talk about this a lot, time trialing out there. He's not racing against anybody. He's just trying to keep his pace, to keep the guys behind him back where they were. But I think he was happy with that and was able to, you know, we're talking about race strategies, and he sort of, raced within himself and came out with a great result.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So, all right. Anything anybody else wants to say about the Charm City at all? I think it was, man, it's certainly, Charm City's getting better every year, Bill. I know you say it all the time, but it continues to impress, and I think it's kind of become one of the premier events in the U.S., so especially in the early season. So, yeah, it's great to see something of this caliber, and next year I might have to go.
I think you definitely should. I think, David, you should get out there, too.
I would love to come.
One of our DNSs here, and, you know, we haven't really talked about it because we haven't chatted. After Rochester, Jeremy Powers got really sick. I mean, really sick, to the point that he was in the hospital for a couple days, and his whole system kind of got shattered. He had a abscess in his mouth and that removed, but whatever else, you know, on antibiotics, and just the recovery from that is,
it sounded really terrible.
Is taking a while, and just to get him back where he needs to be to race is taking a while, and I think he'll be there, but he knows also, especially with the, you know, the cardiac stuff he was dealing with last season, everything, he's not going to rush this. He's at this point in his career where he's smart enough to know, he's like, nothing is like that important that he's going to put his health at risk. So he's taking his time, starting to train, starting to get to work back up, which, you know, along with what we're talking about with Tobin and some, you know, and Katie Keough and some of these other folks, I think it's going to make for an exciting second half of the season, which sometimes we get into the sort of the doldrums here. I think that it's going to be really, really exciting when some of these top racers start to reemerge, you know, Stephen Hyde as well. But for Powers,
Bill, to that point, I'll tell you, the three that are going to be powerhouses later in the season that are now, the upside is that the downside is that they come back, but they can really concentrate their training now while others are out there racing. You got Powers, you have Hyde, and you have Dillman.
You have one
those
more
three.
Well, you have a fourth one too.
And that is, of course,
Spencer Petrov,
right. And yeah. Spencer is another, and his question mark is probably a little bit longer and deeper, because with concussion, it's day-to-day, week-to-week. Whereas the others have more surgical medical things that they have more of a resolution date ahead of them. So all four of those guys are going to be going strong.
We should be looking for Garland, Texas, for all of them to be battling.
I think
it out.
That's it. Yeah.
Resolution. Is that what
resolution?
You're
I think Jeff Lucido has it all planned out.
I saw Spencer at track, and without thinking, I was up. I'm like, "Hey, dude, how you doing?" He's like, "Oh, dude." He's
slap him on the head.
He's like, "Not quite so loud, man." I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm sorry."
He didn't have his
noise canceling headphones.
He did those and sunglasses, right? Yeah. But I was like, I didn't even think about it. I mean, he was just sitting there, and I hadn't seen him in so long. He's like, "Yeah, a little bit softer would be good."
Yeah. So just to finish up Powers, he was at Charm City. He had some events in the area and, you know, decided to stop by, and which is another, you know, it's why we love him.
Yeah,
was
cool.
There, was signing autographs, just being Jeremy Powers. So it was great to have him come out to the race. I think he may have done a couple laps of the course too, but, you know, had no intention of racing. And he said,
was he spinning discs,
like,
and DJing or what?
Nah, just sort of hanging out. Yeah. So those three guys, all there's something going on in that little microcosm of Northampton, because like him and Hyde and Petrov all live like within a mile of each other or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can get together and all heal together. Yeah.
Quietly,
but, you know,
in the dark.
You mentioned Dillman, just really, you know, happened at the World Cup. We didn't talk about this as well. You know, tried to make a pass. They had all those metal fencing barriers and just got sort of pushed into the barrier and destroyed his hand. Broken hand and in a cast. But he is, which is really sad because that guy was just flying on the bike. I mean, just so strong coming back this year.
Should I tell my Drew Dillman story?
Should we make people go all the way over to Bike Shop CX. Nah, go ahead. Tell him here.
Did I tell it there too? I can't
remember. Yeah, you did.
So Drew hits the barrier. He tried. Yeah, it was basically like you said, but he tried to follow Vandahar around this small group just as it got to this white, as the group drifted out. And then, yeah, he just smacks the barrier. I had turned away for a second. As I turned back, I just see his niner on the ground, like spinning on the ground. I'm like, oh, man. Run over there. The medical people were right there. They sent him over to the main medical area. I went with him. While we're sitting there, you know, the doctor, who was amazing, by the way, Trek, well done with the medical service. It was top notch, unbelievable. So they're looking at his hand, and Drew's wife, CJ, came over and told us about Hyde. We didn't even realize that Hyde was out yet. And so she says, yeah, Stephen Hyde is out too. He crashed and he's injured. And so Drew goes, holds up his hand. And he's like, great. Now the two strongest American riders are both injured.
Love it.
Yeah.
Total smile on his face, just cracking up about it. I mean, it was just, you know, he knew he was joking, but it was just like, that's just Drew's attitude. And it was just awesome to see, and just doesn't get him down. You know, he's just going to be up about it no matter what. So.
You know, watching his Instagram feed, already on the trainer, already keeping strong,
again,
looking to come back.
Did you see his thing where he's got the cast on his arm resting on the feedback? The feedback work stand. And he's like, yeah, it's because of great support from sponsors like Feedback that I can keep going. It's like, dude, that's awesome.
Killing it.
Perfect.
Just very cool. And I can't wait for him to get back. So, all right, you guys want to talk about Ransa?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure, why not?
That's what I'm thinking. Let's talk about the women's race first. So, top five for the women's race. Ransa, of course, normally part of the De Veve series. This year is not part of the De Veve series, but it's still a big race, a C1 over there. First place for the women, Mariana Voss. Second place, Alice Arzufi. Third place, Anne-Marie Wurst. Fourth place, Celine Del Carmen Alvarado. Fifth place, Ellen Van Looy. So here's my question about Voss. Now, in years past, when Voss has won Worlds, we really didn't see much of her, or certainly didn't see her at the top of races early in the season, this early in the season. Are you guys wondering, this thought just kind of hit me this morning, I mean, it is Mariana Voss, right? Potentially, arguably, the greatest cyclist of all time. But could she be, like, going out a little bit early? You know, we've seen other racers do this where they come out, they're excited about the season, they come out really hot, doing really well, and then they fade and don't do so well in Worlds. What do you guys think about that with Mariana Voss?
I don't think that she is a racer that holds back, right?
True.
So I don't know that she's pushing herself beyond where she's capable so much as this is how capable she is. And we don't even know what her, like, you know, what her training plan is. Is this what she was training to peak for? I doubt it. So we might be looking at even stronger results later in the series and later in the season.
That's a good point. Yep, yep. Bill, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm looking down there at ninth place in Sané Kant. And
exactly.
Sané is, you know, what she's always...
And 10th is Sophie DeBoer.
Well, but for Sané specifically, her biggest criticism in the past and after the, when she lost Worlds a few years ago, was she didn't like these part-time cyclocross racers showing up after racing the road after she's done a whole season and gotten, you know, torn apart racing cyclocross for a whole season and then having to go up against these fresh racers for Worlds. So maybe, you know, look, we had Anne-Marie Wurst in third. We got Mariana Voss at the top. Maybe they took what she said to heart and they're showing up for the whole season now and, you know, showing... Maybe they'll fade by the end of the season, like you're saying, or maybe they're just sending a message to Sané Kant saying, "Hey, we're gonna come here and play in your sandbox, and then we'll see how it goes by the time Worlds comes around."
Yeah,
yeah.
And a couple that you need to point to in the week for the weekend, a name that we say from time to time, but not usually at the top of the list quite so much. Celine Del Carmen Alvarado had an amazing pair of rides. Fourth at Ronza, and let me see where she was at the other race. She was in fourth again, and so she had a great early season. And Ellen Van Looy, someone forgot to tell her that she's supposed to go out strong and then fade, because on the second race the first wake race in Mühlbecke, for Brico Cross, she finished second. And nice. she went to the front, as is her way. And it was just her and Sané Kant, as you bring it up, that were off the front and just drilling it. That race came down to a sprint finish. And Sané Kant just came around. But Ellen Van Looy right to the end. So gun to tape at the end, we had a great race.
Cool. Also, just to mention, Americans in this race in 13th place was Ellie Anderson. So she's over there already doing it. So
Belgian American.
Yeah, Belgian American. yeah, just looking at it, we got Eva Lechner on her new team, Creofin Tuusud. First race for them since moving over from Cliff.
Do you have any information on that, Bill?
Yes. Yeah, so the Cliff Pro Team, which is the women's team, which was Luna and Luna Chicks in the past, predominantly a mountain biking team, predominantly set up to race the World Cup mountain bike season in Europe, have made the decision, kind of the business and strategic decision, that the women's team was going to align itself with the US-based men's Cliff team that's, you know, like in California and races a lot of road and races domestic mountain bike, and they're pulling away from racing internationally. So they're no longer doing the World Cup calendar next year. They're instead going to focus on North American races. That meant that a rider like Eva Lechner, who's Italian and based in Italy, and, you know, that is, she races in Europe. That's what she does.
Right.
Didn't really set up for her in a good spot. So she, you know, it was a mutual separation. You know, I think she was sad to go, but at the same time, it's really the only thing that works for her. So she's now on this Belgian Creofin team.
Cool.
Gotcha.
Cool. Okay. Do you guys want to move on to the men's results?
Here's an interesting. I'm just looking at these results. Just one more thing. One thing. Eva's teammate, who came in right behind her, I haven't really heard the name, Gerda Hoka. She's I just seen that she started with a bib number 26, so maybe somebody to watch, ended up 12, so that was a big jump. And then also Sané Kant, and who I was just giving a hard time before. I love Sané Kant. I'm sure she'll be up at the top in incoming races, but listed as Corindon Circus as her UCI name. I'm not sure how that works. I thought she was on the other, you know, different sponsors, different team.
That whole thing has just been so confusing.
It's such a circus.
Does anyone understand it? I mean, it's like nobody knows. It's just this big enigma inside a mystery.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll to be determined on that one.
Yeah.
She may be racing for WVA next.
Yeah.
That's a big powerhouse Belgian team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to get it over in the U.S. Got to give some kudos to our friends there in West Virginia for supporting a top rider like
that. There you go, the Go Mountaineers.
Yeah.
All right, on the men's side at Ronsa, in first place was Matthew Vanderpoel. Second place, Wout Van Aert. Third place, Micah Vanthernout. Fourth place, Gianni Vermeersch. Fifth place, Lars Vandahar. That was for you, David.
Thank you. I'm sure he appreciates it as well, but
so the about 22 seconds separating Vanderpoel from Van Aert. As you know, we're back to Vanderpoel, obviously rested and ready to go, it looks
like. And if you look at the 2, 3, 4, and it looks like you got a pretty good battle. If Vanderpoel's not there, then it's like, oh yeah, men's racing exciting again. You got Van Aert and Vanthernout sprinting it out for the end. Vermeersch not too far behind, but hey, the guy's the best in the world.
The kid is there, and he's good. So what are you going to do? Yeah. So
I would, going down to sixth place, just one guy I want to mention as well, is Nieuwenhuis, who's the kid that we talked about in the past in the U23 and even back into the junior fields, who was always another one of these young guns, another one of these phenoms up there in the elites, and pulling off a six, you know, with a number 27 on his back. So I think he is definitely
22 years old.
Yeah, one to watch.
Yep, for sure. That's a good call. So, all right. Do we want to talk about any other results from Ronsa? Do we want to? Oh, we got to look. We just have to quickly mention the men's U23.
Yeah, before place. I got a couple other notes from this just to see how this changes. As we go through the season, Kevin Powell's in 14th place, so Kevin's place times two. And then
that's Kevin's place.
Yeah. And I guess third was Kevin's place.
Kevin used to be third. Yeah, I guess now it's
I'm sorry. Jokes don't drop. Ellie Easerbeat, interesting one to watch. Yeah, down there in 16th place, you know, first year full-time elites, but, you know, not to put too much on him. To be perfectly honest, I thought he'd be farther up in these races than he's been.
Yeah, me too. But we'll see. Again, maybe he's just ramping it up, like we've been saying a lot of our other riders are doing too.
Yeah, so. And then the rest of the field was just all Swick relatives.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix, Swick, and
All right. So, like we said, I want to mention on the U23 in first place was friend of the pod, Jens Dekker.
Yeah.
He is having a season.
There we go.
And thankfully, you know, that crash that he had, a couple of times he went down, you know, I think he went down hard, I think, in that first Brico Cross race. But nothing broken, and back up there, and really stoked for Jens. He is having an awesome year, and I hope he's able to continue it throughout.
It was cool seeing him go over to, he went over to Australia, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
China, Australia. Yeah, so that was cool seeing him do that, and this is cool too, seeing him get that win by about 5 seconds over Lander Lox from Belgium. So there we go. All right, I think that's all we wanted to talk about for Ronsa. Did you guys have anything else?
Well, weren't there, there was a...
There was
yeah,
a
I know
junior.
It was a men's junior. That's all, yeah.
Yeah, did... that's all.
Guess we don't
that's
really
all.
Need to...
Nah.
Although, Wietse Mason winning that
yes,
one.
Yes.
Oh, and in third place, worth noting, since he is now of the age that he's going to be showing up in all of these junior races, Thibaut Ness in third place.
Yes. So. Yes. Good, good, good. God, the training videos that he posts are just ridiculous.
The seated yes. jumps.
He's
like
doing
3 feet
jumps and landing on 1 foot on a ball that's rolling. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, you're like, what in the world?
Yeah. America Ninja Warrior.
So real quick, guys, let's just give, if you guys are cool, let's give the results for the Sacramento race really quick. You
oh,
guys
yeah,
cool
definitely.
With that?
Sure.
So for the first day of this would have been October 6th. First day for the women. First place, Sammy Runnels. Second place, Carolyn Nolan. Third place, Raylan Nuss. I don't know. I'm not
Nuss,
sure exactly.
Yeah, she's been Nuss? Racing awesome. She's sort of cool. New on the scene in cyclocross and just having a great season for really the first time we're seeing her.
Nice. Fourth place, Amanda
Nauman.
No,
no, it's Nuss.
Nuss. Nice, Nuss. Fourth place, Amanda Nauman. Fifth place, Emily Kaczurek. For the men on the first day, first place was Anthony Clark. Second place, Alan Krugoff. Third place, Cody Kaiser. Fourth place, Lance Hedette. And fifth place, Troy Wells. So that race, you know, I was out there for that race last year. Sorry to miss it this year. What a great event. And glad to see that. Looks, the pictures from it look similar, right? It looks like they're having just as much fun this year as it was last year to go to that. So,
yeah, and Scotty D, a sixth place in the men's.
Yeah.
Our favorite Texas Canadian.
Oh, Tyler
Cloutier.
How did I miss Tyler? Oh,
I don't
goodness.
Know. Yeah.
Day two at Sacramento for the women. First place was Sammy Runnels again. Second place, Clara Hansinger. Fourth place, Raylan Nuss. I'm sorry, third place, Raylan Nuss. Fourth place, Carolyn Nolan. And fifth place, Amanda Nauman. And then
Carolyn Nolan, another one to watch. Saw her in Go Cross, really strong rider, newer name onto the scene. So definitely somebody that I think is going to be up there in these races as well.
Yeah, so for the men on the second day, first place was Cody Kaiser. Second place, Troy Wells. Third place, Alan Krugoff. Fourth place, Lance Hedette. And fifth place, Anthony Clark. Tyler getting eighth. There we go, David. I got it.
Thanks. Yeah, all right.
Great weekend for the Squid Squad. You know,
that's what I was going to say.
Home race and coming through.
Yeah. So any cross racers out on the West Coast, man, oh, man, that's a race to definitely see. I think it's a good, we need stronger. Not only do we need stronger C2s on the West Coast, we need to have that big C1 weekend still on the West Coast, in my opinion. Reno is kind of filling that spot, but that's a Wednesday night race. It's always a little weird being right before the World Cups. Just the stuff that's going on out there, I really want to promote that and think people should get out and check that out because it's really good. So.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I think that, you know, and this is a discussion we can have when we're not an hour eight because I couldn't stop talking this episode.
An hour of Bill, 8 minutes of me and David.
Sorry.
That sounds right.
We haven't done this in a while. I have so much to talk about.
I got so much to say.
But one of the things that just, you mentioned that, Scott, and I think is a point we have brought up before, especially about the West Coast. Another sort of component to that is would love to see C1s in the U.S. get their own weekend.
Yes.
You know, in just if I, and I know that it might be contracting the number of UCI races that we have right now, but man, we got to get back to a point where everybody is keying in. We don't have to call it a national series, although that'd be awesome, but everybody's keying in on those C1s and showing up.
Yes, I agree. Well said. We're going to do a whole show about that?
I don't know.
We should.
I just didn't want to get off into a tangent now.
All right. Well, have we covered the races that we wanted to cover this week, you guys?
No, we got one more we need to talk about just quickly to give the results so we don't leave them out because it was, you know, one of the biggest races in the U.S. in years
Infirmary
past.
Mound.
And they decided to, yes, Infirmary Mound. And instead now placed going up against a World Cup race, so kind of forgotten outside of New England is.
And I'll tell you something, Bill, before you even say it.
Yeah.
Just think, there was the place in the Boston area was called Jolly Charlie's. It was this, like, as I remember it as a kid, it was a huge amusement park. It was great. And then if you go by that lot now, it's kind of decrepit, falling apart. You have a premier race that was on, like, hallowed ground. People might even said it was, like, you know, divine providence. And then it's now in an old car lot racing up against the World Cups.
Yeah.
Tell us the name of it, Bill.
I heard a rumor they may be trying to become divine again, but we'll see what happens. I don't know if that's true or not.
That would be great if they would.
That rumor has been around for, like, decades.
The second coming. Yes, I've heard of that.
KMC CrossFest. Took place September 30th. We'll start it with the men's result, winning $2. Lane Maher. Scott Smith getting second place. Nicholas Lando in third. Alec Pascalina in fourth, and Andy Scott in fifth place for the men. I'm gonna have to click back here and get on to the women's results. And all right, winning the women, Regina Legg.
Yeah.
Natalie Tappas in second, Catherine Cumming in third, Brittley Bowman fourth place, and then Taylor Kick White in fifth place. So still going, and good to see that they've kept that alive again. Really, really tough weekend to be on with the three races, you know, C1, C2, World Cup happening on Jingle Cross on the same weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, that was a good one. I'm glad you mentioned that and we got that in there because, yeah, we should not forget about that race because hopefully someday it will return to its former glory. So, all right. Any other races we want to mention? I know we've kind of skipped over. We've had a rough start. This was a jam-packed beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, I will say that we didn't really talk that much about the other World Cup this time, the Waterloo World Cup, where I would point people to get all of our discussion on that is the Bike Shop CX. Probably not your most current one, but maybe one back.
No, it is the most current one right now, except I will be posting the new show today.
Okay, so yeah, by the time there will be a brand new Bike Shop CX up there. But go back to the episode before that and listen to that. You're going to get a lot of great stuff from Waterloo and then move into the... Who's on the latest one?
So this one we're, of course, Mr. David Palin and I.
Of
and
course.
I talked to Mark Legg about Katie rolling the tubular at Waterloo.
Well, there you go. So perfect.
So this was actually a big thing. A lot of people were putting it out on social media, and Mark just said, hey, I'm going to talk to it. I'm going to talk about it on Bike Shop CX. So get over there and listen to that podcast. So that
awesome.
Will be going up today. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So So if you you don't have to hear me talking anymore, go over and, I take that back. I show up on Bike Shop CX too. I'm like a virus. I'm showing up everywhere.
I couldn't say no. I mean, I tried to close the van door in time, but Bill just kept on insisting. So,
yeah.
So we don't have a report. We don't have the long interviews of the two of you riding together in the van. And I know you guys wanted me to just hope that everyone forgot about that last time when we talked about the long road trip and how you guys are going to have all this material. And when I said, no, I don't think you're going to have all this material, y'all laughed at me. We're just going to leave it at that.
Well, it was mostly my fault for not making it to Jingle Cross, but Bill had to work, man.
Yeah, and I didn't leave. I was enjoying Deerfield. Was that it? Wisconsin so much that I just stayed until
Decided
Thursday.
To stay a few
Perfect.
Days.
And then rode to Iowa with world champion Mark Savory.
Nice.
There you go.
He had a big announcement this week as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Former Trek employee. Right? Is that what I understand?
Yeah. we're gonna have to ask Mark exactly what his positions of employment were, but yeah, definitely with a Trek shop or yeah, and now new bike. I'm ill prepared to.
Well, yeah, Mark and I'm blanking on the brand as well, but he's now like brand ambassador, right?
Yep. Savory well, and more I than that, had, he's, yeah, he's an employee.
Yeah.
Savory and I had planned to talk about it at Jingle Cross, but that didn't happen because I didn't go.
Only one of the two of you showed up.
Yes. But he and I have already said we're going to talk about it at Nationals. So
all right.
Hopefully we'll have him on Bike Shop CX to talk more about that. So there you go. All right, guys. Bill, if people want to get in touch with you on social media, where's the best place to do it?
Right here on Crosshair. No, they can go to CX Hairs on Twitter and CX Hairs on Instagram and CX Hairs on YouTube. Right now, that would be the thing that I would love for people to do. We're getting near 5,000 subscribers for the channel, really starting to ramp it up. Everybody, you know, cries for a live stream. I still get these tweets all the time. Is there a live stream of this race? Is there a live stream of this race? I'm trying to give you guys something to replace the live stream and give you the whole race in just 10 minutes. All the important parts on there. That's the Crosshairs Television concept. Already have 11 episodes from this year up there and tons more to come. You know, got Reno
and they've
Cross.
Gotten better each time, Bill.
Thanks. Yeah, really figuring out how to do this as we go along, and I think we're starting to produce a product that I hope will become a staple of, you know, the week following the races for you guys to get the visuals of the race that you're looking for. And my whole thing on this, not to go on, I'm going to keep it short, I promise, is that, you know, the thing that I always have a problem with people wanting live streams is that we all race or we're working at races or whatever. We're not there for a live stream, you know, other than Nationals. Nationals is a big one. Everybody's either at Nationals or at home watching it. And that's an awesome live stream and worth having. But everything else, you want to be doing your own thing on Saturday or Sunday, especially racing. So if you get that recap on Monday, just because it's not live, it's still hopefully something that you're gonna enjoy and get all the information you would have on a live stream that may or may not have, you know, dropped out the connection or this or that. So that's about it. Feedback@cxairs.com. That's where you can email me.
Excellent. Mr. David Palin.
Yep, that's me, Mr. David Palin, on Instagram and on the Twitter. And again, kudos to Bill Millen. I don't know how you've been following this, however long we've been running now, hours of time with all of the content that you're putting up there. It's great, Bill. Congratulations on that. And anyone that has issues with it, send all that information to, I don't even know what to say. I had some nasty things to say.
At Bike Shop CX.
I had thought about that. I had thought about some nasty words, but yeah. But really, it's amazing. Great job.
Bill. Oh, thank you. You're supposed to be telling about where people get in touch with you, though.
I did.
Okay, good.
I'm at Mr. David Palin. Going to races anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we should all stay home. No one show up to races anymore.
Yeah. And you can get a hold of me, Scott Diedenbach. I am at Bike Shop CX on both Instagram and Twitter. And send if you have tech questions for our show, send them to bikeshopshow@gmail.com. And we will get those answered. All right, gentlemen. Next time, we're going to try and do this in a week again, right?
Yeah.
That's the rumor.
Right. And we might have a guest, so be prepared for
that. Can't wait to see who it is.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.